I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Thursday, March the 24th. Brad Locke here with you, along with W. Derek Russell and Chris Kiefer and Pod Gator.
The W stands for whimsical.
Whimsical?
I don't know.
I was trying to talk to Pod Gator before you said anything. Hey, Pod Gator, how's it going?
He has to be looking at you.
Oh, okay.
Like a gator in an old folks' home, he's going to be turned to your direction.
He's giving me the silent treatment today.
He doesn't have ears, so.
He can still hear me.
Can alligators hear?
Alligators can hear, can't
sure,
they?
Yeah, I know that they can.
I don't know. I failed biology.
If a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a noise?
Yes.
Are you sure? Speaking of making noises,
Chris Kiefer over there, our producer, making all kinds of racket.
He's fluctuating. You all right?
Making you nervous?
You antsy? No, I'm always nervous. You don't have to. I don't need your help. How was your Wednesday?
It was a Wednesday. It was busy.
Riveting, Chris.
Yeah. It was work. It was like nothing exciting that happened.
Well, you two were just full of it today.
How was your Wednesday, Derek?
It was fantastic. You want to know why?
Yes, I do.
Sure.
I had a lot of great interviews for upcoming stories.
Okay.
I got out of here on time, and Chris didn't keep me too long yesterday, so that was nice. Okay. He unlocked the door and let me out.
Actually, I kept you guys for a while.
Technically, that was Brad that kept us for a while yesterday.
I know what you're talking about.
And today's my Friday, so. You
know, yeah, you're off tomorrow.
I'm always off tomorrow.
Man.
Good Friday.
It's been nice to have a day off. Hey, you going to see the new Batman Superman movie?
Yeah.
I heard it sucked.
Let's just be nice.
I read a couple of reviews.
You know, everybody always says everything is bad. It's not. There's nothing good. Nobody says anything's good anymore. Everybody has to criticize. That. You know what? That's the problem with 2016. Everybody thinks that they could be critical because they have one of these.
A laptop?
Well, internet. But yeah.
Internet.
They're like, well, I can. Everybody thinks that they have.
Well, I mean, I was never like really pumped about this movie because
why
are you rebooting Batman already?
If it's anything, it doesn't matter what it is. Anything, music or TV or film, books, it's like, I hate it and this is why.
I don't know.
You don't sound like an expert if you say it's good.
I guess not.
But if you criticize things.
Can you not just go enjoy something? Does it have to be, I'm going in automatically hating this?
Oh, I'm all with you now, because there's like, let's take for instance the show Vinyl on HBO. I think it's a great show. I was talking to somebody the other day who was like, it's okay. I'm like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not like the highest form of television art, but I think it's pretty darn good.
Well, it's fine
for you. And it's entertaining.
It's fine for you to not like something without hating it.
Yeah, and I've tried
trying to ruin it for other people.
And I've tried to work on that myself because I've been known in the past.
Yeah, you ruin a lot of
to kind of just
me.
Run down music that I hate or TV shows.
Just because you don't like something doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Right. Of course, if it's on Freeform, then it probably is terrible. But aside from that, the former ABC family.
They show
a lot of Disney movies that Daniel likes on Saturdays.
Yeah,
I'm talking about their regular evening programming, like Pretty Little Liars and whatever else. I don't remember. It's basically all a bunch of 20-something beautiful and unreasonably beautiful people with contrived
drama.
Aren't
you just doing the thing that we just said don't do?
Well, yeah, but I think you can make an exception for Freeform.
I don't know. I think that
channel does not need to exist.
Part of the rule. It's not the exception. You don't.
Just because
it is not.
I think if something is objectively bad, it's okay.
But just because it's not directed towards you,
that has nothing to do with it. It's just terrible. Okay. Listen, there's some. Art is subjective. I understand that. So maybe I'm totally wrong. But I think there...
Art is objective.
There are there's certain art that most people can agree upon if they're, like, intelligent. It's just bad art.
Bad art exists. See, that's where I think you're wrong. Intelligence has nothing to do with art.
Yeah, it has something
to
do
with whatever it evokes emotion is what is important.
Well, yeah, that too.
I think
it's a combination.
If it makes me think, that's just icing on the cake. Oh, I want cake now. That's just icing on the cake.
I mean, I'm also of the school of thought that, you know, I hate boy bands, but, you know, if you're a teenage girl and it makes you feel good to listen to that, go for it.
But, okay, here's the thing with that.
Even if it's bad
you
music.
Might not like the music, but you can't deny that the majority of, going all the way back to New Kids on the Block, you can't deny that they are talented musicians.
Okay, sure.
You can't deny it.
I mean, well, they can sing. Like, let's take One Direction.
This is what I'm talking about.
Most of those guys can sing.
Okay, there you go.
They can't play instruments as far as I know. At least
well,
they
you don't.
Don't
know that they can't.
Well, they don't.
There's not
they
a whole lot of boy bands.
There's
not a whole lot of boy bands with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You get studio. You get professional studio musicians to back you up on the vocals. That's totally different.
I mean, yeah. I mean, let's take for instance Beyonce. She's extremely talented. I just don't care
extremely
for her music.
Extremely talented. Well, that's fine. You're wrong because we're all supposed to like Beyonce.
Apparently,
that's a universal.
She's fine, but some of her songs going to sound the same. So, anyway. Oh, come on.
I'm
Halo.
You went way
Halo
back.
Halo is like that's like five other songs she's done.
Well, all I'm saying is intelligence doesn't have to be the deciding factor
whether
or not art
not.
Is good.
I was probably being a little pretentious there. My bad.
A little, yeah.
My bad.
It was showing.
Yeah, I can't help myself sometimes.
It's the mustache.
I've got a laptop and the internet. I mean, come on.
You used to have a space bar, but you don't anymore.
I have opinions, dang it.
Well, you share those quite often.
But seriously, I've tried to focus more on what I like lately than what I don't like. So I
think that's a positive thing. There's so much negativity in the world because it's automatically easy to go, well, that's stupid. Yeah.
Like Sturgill Simpson's got a new album coming out. I'm pumped.
That's
I love
good.
That guy.
That's good.
He's great.
That's good. We were talking about the Ghostbusters. There's a lot of men angry that there's women in the film.
Which is stupid. Like it's 2016.
This is what I'm saying. It's 2016. We don't have to be so negative. We love and
it's like some women.
Acceptance. And,
yeah. It's like some men don't think women can be funny. I'm like,
I didn't say that.
I know. I'm saying some men think that.
Brad thinks
I don't,
women can't be funny.
Have you ever heard Kathleen Madigan? She's hilarious. Okay?
Brad, why do you think women can't be funny?
I don't think
why
that
would
at
you,
all.
Why would you say that? That's a terrible thing to say, that women can't
Melissa
be
McCarthy
funny.
Is one of my favorite actors.
I'm just kidding. I'm trying to give
Amy
you a hard time. How did we get off on this?
Tina Fey.
Oh, you asked me about... Yeah, I'm going to see Batman versus Superman at some point.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see it at some point.
Speaking of movies, Scott Morris has a movie review today.
He does
not like the movie he saw.
He does not.
Speaking of not liking movies, but we'll have him on to review a movie.
Again, those films, and we're talking about the Divergent
series,
which is a young adult series of novels. It's a trilogy or quadrilogy.
It's like
really
a Hunger Games type thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Kind of thing. Dystopian, thing. Not geared towards us.
They're geared toward millennials. Those darn millennials.
Very much not geared towards Scott Morris.
Probably not.
So.
I mean, the generational.
You go in that knowing.
The generational aspect plays into some of this too. Yeah. Like, everything was better when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Which the previous generation
said
the same
thing.
Which
for you was like the 60s, wasn't it?
Oh, shut up.
Okay.
Although I'll admit, there's a lot of bad 80s music that I like. And there's no excuse for it.
There is no such thing as bad 80s music.
Yeah, there is.
No. Yeah. There, you are incorrect.
And I have some of them on my iPod, and I enjoy the heck out of it.
Well.
It's just one of, again, if you enjoy it, I guess, even if it's terrible, just go with it. Enjoy it.
Well, while we're talking about the past, we're going to have Neil McCoy
today
talking about...
Neil McCoy's going to be here, Chris.
A new exhibit at the CBB.
Neil McCoy. Cha-ching.
Which Neil McCoy?
I'd like a dollar for that segue. I'm pretty proud of it.
That's pretty good.
At all costs. What else we have? We got Scott Morris, as you said, coming
Scott
on.
Scott Morris coming on. I think we're going to have Caleb Bedillion on today.
Possibly, depending on his schedule. He had an interview come up last minute, so he may or may not be here.
So who knows? You have to tune in. You have to stay with us to find out.
And if you leave that off, it just always sounds like Brad says Caleb Bedillion's name with a question mark. We're going to have Caleb Bedillion?
Caleb Bedillion?
Who put a question mark on the screen?
And then we'll have the scene sectionist today, so we'll have that from you. What's
I'll
going
handle
on
that.
This weekend?
Okay. And then I'm checking out.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'm not listening to a word you say after that.
Well, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Whatsoever. But excited to have Neil on. A lot of great things going on at Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau. That is such a mouthful to say. It really is.
Neil McCoy. Really is.
Tourism. The Tourism Department of Tupelo.
Neil McCoy, tourism guy.
You really don't. You spit on me when you said it that time.
Tourism?
No, I think it was the McCoy.
McCoy?
Yeah, I don't know how you spit on a C, but good job. You did it.
Okay. A little something in my throat.
Let's get started.
Okay.
Tupelo Convention and Visitor Bureau Executive Director. That's a mouthful, by the way. TCVB.
Yeah. That'll work.
Executive ED.
Tourism.
Neil McCoy.
Tourism. That's good. I try to explain it to my kids. Dad, what do you do? I invite people to come visit. That's all you
need
to know.
That's a good soundbite. Yeah. That's all you need. That's all. The man who invites people to come to Tupelo, Neil McCoy.
Oh, it's Neil McCoy?
It is Neil McCoy.
How about that? We finally got Neil McCoy on the show again.
Hold on. He's going to...
Boy, Neil McCoy. If I had...
Do I only get five?
We had to have just one guy on the program.
I'm having fine. It'd be Neil McCoy. Yesterday.
Yeah.
And last week.
Back pay.
Yeah, back pay.
Last week.
Yeah, that's
There's
right.
No interest involved.
Every time we drop his name, we get money.
I don't know how that works, but it's our first sponsor on the memo. It's good to have.
Thank you.
We were going to talk to you a little bit about the not mustaches. That's
Mustache
I'm
Museum.
At you.
Yes.
No,
let's talk
we're
about
not
this,
talking
Neil.
About
mustaches. Well, I've done my market research, and we're going to have to do a lot of searching of funding.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't foresee there being a lot in that.
I'll be glad to help in any way I can to make this mustache museum happen.
That probably wouldn't be helpful.
We're trying to get people to come to
Tupelo. People take one look at this and they're like, this museum needs to happen.
They're intrigued.
Or something.
It's like the giant ball of twine that you hear about. It's only 400 miles away.
Yeah.
World's largest spoon. They don't want to come anywhere near it. They just keep driving. But you are working on a new exhibit at CVB that is actually interesting.
Yeah, so this is, I hope it's interesting.
It is.
The plan is for it to be interesting. And what it is, it's more of, rather than just an exhibit, it's kind of rebranding our visitor center, our lobby. And what we want to do is go through and tell really the cultural story of Tupelo. I mean, it dates back to the Chickasaw kind of settling here and creating, you know, their homeland here in Tupelo and, you know, their story of living here and what all took place during their time here. And then you kind of move through early settlement and you kind of start to identify, you know, the time and places of things that were relevant and kind of the next big thing that shows up is during the Civil War times. And you kind of move through that and then you start having post-War II economic development, and Tupelo starts to become a city that is kind of making its way. And then you have what, you know, for many cities in the South, the civil rights struggle, the integration of schools. And Tupelo handled that better than most. Mm-hmm. There were certainly some dark days during that time, absolutely. But considering what some of the other cities in the South went through, Tupelo handled it better than most. And so we want to tell those stories. And then you kind of look at, obviously, the thing that we're most known for, Elvis, and we want to kind of tell all those stories about Tupelo in an active and engaging way. And you want to do it to where people can either come in and get hands-on or that they can touch and see video and technology to where it kind of engages them and then kind of whets the appetite to get out and explore the community. So that's kind of the whole thought behind it, is that we want to create a space that people want to come to mm-hmm. before they get out and explore the community.
Is it kind of going to be set up like a timeline type scenario? Or?
Well, that's kind of the initial thought that it mm-hmm. would be, but we're going to work with a company that specializes in designing space for cultural mm-hmm. and heritage tourism. They work with a lot of museums and things to kind of tell a story. And so we're going to go through the process of them researching our story. We'll work with different organizations to make sure they're told accurate and that we get it right. And so I would think it would be some type of chronological display. Yeah. And we, you know, as I told them, we've kind of got a blank space. Just do what you want to. We want to make sure that it's something that we're proud of in the end.
And it is really a great space, not just a blank space to use it. But anytime I come in there, I come in there for a few minutes, and I'm always coming back to see you. Or I'm going into a meeting. I never really get to always walk around and look at everything. And the other last Saturday night, I was able to, you know, spend about 45 minutes looking at the.
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson. No, he didn't show up until about 45 minutes, like the Frank Dowson exhibit.
Yeah.
And I had not been able to come yet, which has been there, I guess, about a month now.
Yeah. You know, we did it about the middle of February. So, yeah, it's right at a month. And so, yeah, I mean, we've had some of these rotating exhibits, and we still plan to do a couple of those before we get into the construction phase and kind of, you know, maybe going through and doing some cosmetic changes on the walls and those kind of things. So we'll still do a couple of the temporary exhibits. I know we're looking at working with the Chickasaw Nation to do an exhibit leading up to their festival this October. And so I'm excited about
putting that in there. But, yeah, the Frank Dowsing exhibit is a wonderful story to be told. And so we were glad to be able to be a part of telling that. We've told some other stuff. You know, we did one on Kay Bain. That was really kind of fun because, you know, we kind of laugh about Tupelo, the song. And but, you know, quite honestly, she and Buddy had very successful careers.
They did.
Well-known in the music industry, especially in Nashville. So it's good to honor those people when you have a chance to do that.
Now, this exhibit, you know, is part of a larger plan, the 10-year strategic plan. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of fill us in a little bit on the larger context here?
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, we went through a research plan, and out of that research, we kind of made a strategic plan. The strategic plan, one of the first things we needed to do is kind of rebrand ourselves and get our marketing message to be consistent across all of our platforms. And when I say our platforms, it really means our touch points with the consumer, and that is a potential visitor. So the first thing we did was get all of our creative look to be consistent. And so now we have brand standards of our logos and our ad messaging and all those things that when I say the invitation, when we extend the invitation out, it looks consistent across all the different ads and all the different digital marketing. Yeah. And then the next point is our website. So we went through that process of rebuilding a brand new website within the brand standards. And from there, the next touch point was the visitor center. So, you know, when we invite them, when they go to the website to kind of complete the transaction of saying, I want to visit and build out an itinerary. So this is the third phase in that, and that is the welcome center. The fourth phase of that is the Wayfair and Wayfinding signage program that we're about to open bids on and start that process. So now all of the touch points with the consumer will be complete, from the ads to the call to action on the website to their arrival in the community and the wayfinding signage saying you have arrived and here's all the great things you can do and move them around the community. And then when they finally arrive at the visitor center, all the touch points are consistent with our brand standards.
And I want to ask you, too, about the use of technology. You said you're going to use some, but, you know, not so much that you're locked into a certain type of technology that could be, you know, antiquated in a few years. Because, let's be honest, you know, 4 or 5 years, I expect that all our smartphones will be made of that liquid metal, like the Terminator T-1000, and then you can just turn your phone into a tablet. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely it. I mean, that's...
He's doing that thing where he talks again. I'm sorry.
He lost me at T-1000. But
what was your question?
No, I'm kidding. No, that is so true. I mean, that I have talked to a couple of visitor centers that went all in on technology.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it became antiquated, and you know, they... When there was one that kind of had a floor that lit up as you walk through, and half the floor doesn't work now. And so in order to change that out, you got to rip up the whole floor. You know, those are things that we just don't want to get into.
Right.
You know, cosmetic things are relatively easy to change, you know. So that's kind of what we want to look at. You know, we don't want to get into a situation where we're locked into just doing, you know, video is a big part of what we're going to do, because you can tell that story and you can tell it. Pretty effectively in small snippets. And so that's kind of what we want to do. Some of that, you know, there's ways now where you can go in and, you know, if we even talked about just kind of begin the daydreaming part of this, what if you could cut your own Elvis record, you know, and have a sound booth and you just do a voiceover and have it emailed to you. And now we capture your email and we have a way to follow up with you and invite you back for other things to do in Tupelo. So those are just kind of some
pie
in the sky thinking that we've already begun on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think I've got some pretty good ideas. You can hire me as a consultant. Maybe instead of a mustache museum, you just have a portion of the exhibit
be on mustaches.
Dealing with mustaches.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm really pushing hard
security.
For this.
Security! Take that one, too. I need
my money back.
Neil McCoy taking his money
save
back.
Save your money, Neil. Well, we appreciate you coming on.
Oh, today. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's fun. I love coming in here and smelling Funyuns and Sun-Kissed. It's a great time.
Listening to my inane ramblings.
No, it's fine. T-1000.
That's a good idea now. Come on. That's going to be a moneymaker.
Yeah, no.
Your cell phone.
Until they all kill us.
Your cell phone, you touch it and it turns and it morphs into a tablet. Maybe even a laptop.
No, I'm with you. You know, the...
Bam, just one device.
What's the thing, big thing now? The Internet of Everything? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Where... Like your refrigerator will now be a device that you can log onto the internet. Have you seen this?
Really?
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
I think it's called the T-1000 refrigerator.
No,
okay.
No, but seriously. I'm more concerned about the Funyuns than Sunkist. That's slander, sir. I don't eat Funyuns.
Smell your fingers. Smell your fingers. Yes, thank you.
Smell like soap from the shower I took this morning. Thank you very much.
No, you know, but seriously.
You can see it in his mustache. You can see the Funyun clean up good.
Did they have Funyuns at the mustache bash?
No.
They should have.
They didn't. They had like high class.
Because
food.
I saw Russell Stafford's get up and he looked like a Funyun eater.
Funyun eater. Apparently, I look like a Funyun eater, which with this, I can't. You
know what award he won?
The creepiest.
I won the Creeper Award. Creepiest mustache. Accurate?
Of course you did.
Heck yeah, I was lobbying for that thing too.
Well, they're lobbying to keep you away from all schoolyards.
Yeah, well, you know.
If you got a van.
A minivan. Yeah, like, it's not white.
Does it have the sliding door?
Yeah, it does.
With a bubble window.
A bubble window.
Is there some sort of art involving a unicorn or fire on it?
A wolf howling at the moon.
That's right. A wizard.
The cops are looking for you this time.
Yeah, I've actually seen one around town that has some kind of wizard on it.
Did you make an offer?
What?
Did you make an offer?
You know I did.
That's fantastic.
You'll run away while there's still time.
No, I want to stay. This is fantastic.
We're not keeping any of this, right?
Yes, we're keeping all of it.
All of it remains.
Oh, boy.
All right. I have to embarrass you at all costs. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate all the name drops last week.
Sure thing, Neil McCoy. Thank you, Neil McCoy. Appreciate you being on, Neil McCoy.
Signing off.
Okay. Thanks, Neil McCoy. Need to remind you about the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got a new episode of Prep Rally that dropped yesterday. It was just myself yesterday. Gene Phelps was on assignment, but we touched on a few things, a little baseball, a little basketball, a few other things on a Prep Rally. You can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or preprally.djournal.com. And today, going to have a new episode of Double Coverage, MSU and Ole Miss Sports Talk with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford. And you can listen to that on iTunes as well, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. Hey, let's welcome Caleb Bedillion into the program again. Welcome back.
Thanks, Brad. It may be raining outside, but it's always
sunny in here.
I started to go there and then said, no, I can't go there.
So you're saying it's not sunny in here? Come on, it's me and Derek.
I just.
Yeah, I think he makes our point for us.
Well, you know, that's the way it's going to be.
Anyway, I want to talk to you about the airport, specifically the new airline that's coming here. They're calling themselves Contour Airlines. Sounds kind of fancy, Contour. They had a press conference earlier in the week, revealed a lot of details about, for instance, when they're going to start flights from Tupelo to Nashville April 5th, and some introductory rates. You can fly to Nashville for like $19. That's less than a tank of gas.
That's right, Brad. Flights begin April 5th out of Tupelo, and to try and entice people back into the air, the company is rolling out some introductory rates, so tickets through April 30th will cost $18.99. That's one way. So basically, it'll cost you $40 to get up to Nashville and back.
Okay. And then once the introductory rate is expired, then it's, I think, like $49 each way.
That's right.
Still a pretty good price.
It's still not too bad for an airplane trip. Once we're flying under normal conditions, it will probably cost you about $100 to get up to Nashville and back to Tupelo.
Yeah, and they're initially going to offer 5 daily flights from Tupelo every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 4 flights on Tuesdays and Sundays, and 2 on Saturdays. You weren't here, Caleb, I guess, during the previous attempts to have air service out of Tupelo that did not go so well. Seaport, was it Silver Airways before that? They let's be honest, they failed miserably and didn't stick around a terribly long time. So what makes Contour different? What did they say makes them different?
Well, certainly the specter of the previous two failed services was hanging somewhat heavy over Tuesday's press conference. Matt Chaffetz, who is the CEO of Corporate Flight Management, that's the company that's operating Contour Airlines out of Tupelo, mentioned several times that he's aware of the problems that have been here at Tupelo before and that people have been disappointed, he said. He believes his company has a track record throughout its history of providing reliable service. And as a way to show the company's commitment to reliable service here in Tupelo, Chaffetz said that a second airplane will be parked here at Tupelo to provide service in case the primary plane is running late, which I understand is a problem that previous services have had here in Tupelo, is planes just weren't showing up on time.
Right. You just kind of wonder if this one doesn't work out, like at what point do you just stop having air service out of Tupelo?
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, you know, they have certainly that airport is a nice facility. Since I've been in Tupelo, I've been in it a couple times for different reasons. So it's a little creepy, kind of like a ghost town, being in this relatively nice, fairly spacious for a small city airport with nothing happening.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of weird. But hopefully this time it'll work out.
Indeed.
Contour Airlines, the parent company, is Corporate Flight Management. Flights, again, start April 5th. You can go buy tickets at contourairlines.com. And check out Caleb's story. That was in Wednesday's journal and at djournal.com. Thank you, Caleb. Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. Watch live each Monday afternoon around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session.
And of course, we want to remind you about Thrive Marketing, which is a full-service marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, text messaging, and email services for clients. You can find them online at thrive.ms. Brings us to today's news memo. For more on these stories, visit the Daily Journal online at djournal.com or read your copy of today's Daily Journal. Tupelo native Catherine Lacey Booth is one of 10 up-and-coming authors to receive one of this year's Whiting Awards. She is the daughter of Susan Timms and George Booth II. Whiting Awards go to emerging voices in the genres of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and drama. It also awards $50,000 to its writers. Representatives of the foundation said they hope that the support and encouragement of the award will allow its winners to pursue even more adventurous work. Lacey published her first book, Nobody Is Ever Missing, in 2014. Her next novel, The End of Uncertainty, has been accepted for publishing, and Lacey said she expects it to debut next spring.
A Hinds County Circuit judge ordered on Wednesday for the House leadership to slow down the speed by which they read bills. Circuit Judge Winston Kidd issued the order. It was requested by Representative Jay Hughes, who maintained that the leadership was having bills read on the floor at a speed that was incomprehensible. Jackson Democrats had bills read in the House on Wednesday because they were upset about a pending bill that would strip the city of Jackson's control of the Medgar Wiley Evers International Airport and establish a regional board to govern the airport. House Speaker Philip Gunn said members shouldn't be trying to use the rules to stop the process just because they didn't like a bill. He also said the speed of the computer application did not need to be slowed because each member could read the bill on his or her state-issued computer.
Pedestrian pathways are advancing throughout the city. The sidewalk project along North Gloucester could be completed in 2 weeks if the weather is clear. At any rate, City Engineer John Crawley expects the project to be done no later than the middle of April. He acknowledged the work has triggered headaches for drivers on North Gloucester, and meanwhile, another project has begun to build sidewalks around the Bancorp South Arena.
Regional Rehabilitation Center will salute three generations of the Brevard family at its second annual Red Raspberry Humanitarian Awards Dinner on April 5th. The program will feature an appreciation of the family by former Daily Journal publisher Billy Cruz and will spotlight the stories of regional rehab clients. Tickets are $125 each and are available until 5 o'clock on Tuesday. They can be purchased by calling 662-842-1891. The dinner raised $50,000 last year. It helps the center meet its $1 million annual operating budget. Let's welcome M. Scott Morrison to the show. It's Thursday. That means it's movie review time with Scott. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm here to make this podcast great again.
There's no hope for that.
You know, it used to be funny, but now it's almost just scary anytime I hear that. The closer we get to November.
Well, you know, though, but I think the more I say it, the more it kind of soothes you over time. It's gonna get better again. Trust me.
It's gonna come around.
It's gonna
again.
Get great again. Yeah.
It's like Trump last summer. It was funny, but now it's like
gosh, this is real.
It's terrifying.
Well, anyway, this week's review, Scott, you went and saw the Divergent series, Allegiant, the third film in this Divergent. Is it a trilogy, I guess, or is there more coming?
I have no idea if more are coming. I'm hoping if more do come that I'm not roped into seeing them.
Yeah, can't get your money back on this one, huh? I'm going to go ahead and tell people right out of the gate, you gave this an F, which I don't know how often you give Fs. I'm imagining
you know,
not
once
often.
Or two a year, okay. Because every so often something gets made and I don't understand how it got made. We own the first Divergent. It was a good movie. It was like throughout, you're wondering what's going on here, how is this going to play out? And my problem telling you why I don't like this movie specifically really involves spoilers, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But I was talking to my dad last night. He saw it with me.
Okay.
And he had a different take that bothered him. And yet, like, these people, all right, so you got a bunch of people living in Chicago in the post-apocalyptic future.
Yeah.
And this faction system, this that used to rule things, has collapsed.
Yeah.
And so the new leader, though, is interested in turning Chicago into a nastier place than it was before.
Oh, it's Trump.
Well, there you go. Well, she's making Chicago great again. And so our heroine, Triss, who's played by Shailene Woodley, and her crew escaped over the wall and go into this post-apocalyptic landscape. Very red, actually. The future is very red after the bombs fall. And they meet.
That's good to know in advance.
Yeah, and they meet up with these other people. All right, and so the story is like how they deal with these people and deal with trouble back home. But like Triss has never flown a spaceship in her life. She's never flown an airplane. Never flown anything. But in the critical moment when she needs to fly something, she does a really good job of it.
Wow.
You know, it's like and so it's silly in that respect. And there's another character that when I first saw him on screen, you think, well, he's going to have to be a bad guy. And yet she trusts him, even though everybody says you can't trust him. And then the way everything collapses, and this is the spoiler part that I'm not going to go into, but it just gets silly. I don't know how this movie got made. I honestly do not.
There unfortunately is one more.
There's one more coming?
June 2017, Ascendant is the final.
And maybe it'll be better because, like I said, The Divergent was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I recommend it. But this was, I don't know if the book itself that it was taken from had these same, maybe something was lost in translation from the page to the film. I don't know because I haven't read the source material and don't really plan to at this point. But Allegiant made something like $20 million, I think. It had a pretty good box office, so people saw it. For a decent little opening. I don't know how much it cost to make. But I'm not going to get that time back in my life.
Yeah.
So I can't recommend it to anybody. Quite frankly, you know, it's like I like the idea of movies lately having female heroes.
Yeah.
We call them heroines, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
right.
Because I have a daughter, and it's kind of new to see that happen. And it's been done well many times. It's done poorly here. It's mm-hmm. kind of an – I don't know. I felt my intelligence, such as it is, insulted by this movie.
Two steps forward, one step back.
See, intelligence does play a role, Derek.
Intelligence plays a role, but it is not poignant to art as much as emotion is.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that, too. In my review, I mentioned that as well. This is also a very flat movie. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's something that Kelly Carlson said. It was flat, and she hit upon that. The emotional moments in here were very weak for emotion. There's one chase scene that really got me. I mean, I was really there for that. But for much of the rest of it, and for like Triss's relationship with her boyfriend Thor, who's played by Theo James, there's no heat there. There's no passion there. It was just like perfunctory things happening, and so it did not have the that emotional bit.
Did your kids read these books?
No.
I just didn't know if that. I know they were popular along with the Hunger Games ones and the Maze Runner.
Oh yeah, these are all basically like the same movies to me. They all kind of run together. I don't know. I've seen part of the Maze Runner. I think. Yeah. With the giant concrete walls.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's you know, kids fighting the man. You know, and learning things. And I mean, but you know, saying that they're all the same thing. I mean, there are a lot of movies that have like similar themes. They're just. Some are better than others, you know.
Yeah. This seems like it's a trend lately.
I think it's the pop-up of all of them so much, for the frequency, I guess.
Well, right. I'm a child of the 80s.
70s? And, you said 70s 80s, wrong.
I said 80s. And, I mean, we were always.
You said 70s wrong. That was
speaking of the, for coming from the guy with the 70s cheesy mustache. but the 80s, I mean, we were concerned then. There's a lot of post-apocalyptic stuff done back then.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I mean, there are movies that I enjoyed about, you know, kids having to. Having to face the crazy world,
yeah. Like Red Dawn or something.
Yeah,
E.T., Goonies, you know, a lot of them had the same theme.
Cloak and Dagger.
I love that movie, man.
Yeah. Dabney Coleman, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I haven't seen that movie in like 30 years.
What was the one with Leah?
In San Antonio, wasn't it? Uh-huh. I realized I wanted to go to San Antonio.
What was the one with Leah Thompson and they go to the space camp where they go to NASA?
I was in space camp.
You were in space camp.
You can see me in space camp in several scenes.
What? You kidding?
They filmed it in Huntsville. I got $35 a day plus food.
Well, you have an IMDb page?
No, I do not. No. But I met Leah Thompson.
This guy was just in space.
I met Joaquin Phoenix. When he was Lee there. Phoenix back then. He was 9 years old. I met Kelly Preston, and who's now Mrs. John Travolta. And let's see, who was the Carrie? Who was the? She's now Mrs. Steven Spielberg, who was in the second Indiana Jones. She had
No Time for Love, Dr. Jones.
Very curly hair.
Yes.
She played an astronaut in that.
Huh. I did not know that. Learn something new every day.
Tate Donovan, he shows up every so often, too. He's actually, his career.
Kate Capshaw.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Kate Capshaw. And then Tate Donovan, who you don't think about, he showed up in, he was up for a Tony a couple years ago.
Did you have any lines?
Huh? Me? Yeah. No. I played in one scene. You can see me from a backside because I was playing ping pong.
Nice.
And another scene, a couple of scenes early on, you can see me in the background, my 17-year-old self.
Wow.
Tom Skerritt in that movie too.
Yeah, Tom Skerritt. Also, if
you had said "Fly to the Navigator," I would have been far more impressed.
I found a DVD copy of it at the. I had a VHS copy that somebody had pirated for me years ago, but I found a DVD copy at Kroger in Tupelo, just sitting in the bin. I said, "Oh, I'm buying that."
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
So watch that. I say watch Space Camp.
There you go.
Allegiant, and we'll help make the space program great again.
You can read Scott's review in today's journal and at djournal.com. Thank you, Scott.
I have a sense that a lot of this is going to be edited out.
Nah, we'll keep it all. It's too good not to keep. All right, Derek, it's time to take a look at the scene section, see what's going on. By the way, when's the hysterectomy scheduled?
Well, we're hopeful, Brad. We are hopeful.
Yeah, enjoyed your column.
Referring to my column.
Your column in which you had a strange sensation in your leg. And then you made the terrible mistake of going to WebMD.com.
Never go to WebMD.
Yeah.
It's always going to tell you you have cancer or pregnant.
Or need a hysterectomy.
Well, that was worse. I went a little further down the rabbit hole of these are the symptoms you're having and answer the questionnaire. And at the end of the questionnaire, it's like the little paperclip from Microsoft Word. It's like, I see you're trying to write a term paper.
I hated that guy.
Yeah.
Of course, I haven't had a PC since college.
Well, so. It's just that's something I feel like we can all relate to.
Yes.
It's Clippy. Rat jerk.
I thought we were trying to be more positive. And focus on things we like.
That is not an entertaining factor, Clippy.
No, Clippy is just...
Nobody likes Clippy.
No, Clippy's a loser.
He's like Trump.
The column talks about that, and you're feeling better now?
Yeah, I wasn't feeling bad. It was just... I've had the a leg's little weird... Okay. The column was not about my leg. It was about the dangers of WebMD.
Right.
I was not trying to draw attention to myself at all.
Uh-huh.
Shut up. You with the mustache.
I've had a pinched nerve. They're no fun.
It was just weird. It didn't hurt or anything. It just constantly felt like somebody was throwing coffee on my leg.
So when this column first started, I was like, okay, either you or your daughter peed the bed.
Well, that's the natural. It's like, we're not ready yet. I knew she's too old for that. I was like, that's not the issue here. And then as I'm walking around, it still happened. I was like, okay, something's really wrong.
Yeah.
It's fine now. It quit the next day.
That's good. So what we got going on this weekend, Derek?
Well, this weekend, of course, the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra is having their March, because this is March. Next month is April. They're having their March concert, 7:30 p.m. at the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center. They're going to be joined by combined choruses from the First United Methodist Church and First Presbyterian Churches. So that's going to be a really grand occasion. 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Call 842-8433 for tickets on that. Of course, it's Easter weekend.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of events going on a holiday weekend between Good Friday and Better Monday, as some people call it.
Hmm.
Do know that Trent Harmon is up for another round on American Idol tonight.
Tonight on Fox.
That airs at 7 p.m.
7 o'clock, yeah.
On Fox, Comcast Channel 8 or DirecTV Channel 27. So we'll find out if he advances again. Of course, Trent is from Amory, so that's been a big deal for the area as of late. Another girl on the show is from
Macomb.
Macomb, yeah.
That's Gene Phillips' country, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it sure is.
I think Gene's from Macomb, our senior sports writer.
He is, and I was going to say, too, as Ray said on yesterday's show, if Trent does advance today, there'll be that big celebration
Saturday. Of course, and I'm sure there will still be a celebration even if he doesn't advance.
Yeah, Ray was saying yesterday that he's not sure if he doesn't advance, he may not be coming in this weekend because they might keep him there till the end of the show for the finale. They want all the contestants to come out or something, and so, I mean, I guess part of him coming was going to be the film crew was going to film it. I'm sure it's expensive to get last-minute plane tickets.
Yeah.
And so my guess is maybe Idol was going to foot the bill if he won.
Yeah.
And they may do something
at home. Because, of course, they want to come up and film the parade. So if he advances tonight, which, I mean, he's done very well so far, there's no reason to believe that he won't.
Yeah.
That'll be happening. Of course, Saturday. I keep thinking today's Friday. Saturday will be the annual Easter egg hunt, both at Ballard Park and Veterans Parks. So, Chris is going to strap a GoPro on his child. And
that's an amazing idea.
First-person footage.
Daniel's what, three? Two?
He's 3.5. He'll be 4 this summer.
Yeah.
Joe's just walking now.
Put a GoPro on Daniel's forehead and just let him go at it.
That would be fun.
Chase the ducks around and all that good stuff. Our main centerpiece for today was the Sleeping Beauty Ballet put on by Tupelo Ballet. That is going to be next weekend at 2 p.m., also at the Performing Arts Center. Huge cast, huge production always for Tupelo Ballet performances. So that, of course, going on next Saturday, April 2nd.
Yeah.
And you can see that one. So, and Scott's review of A Terrible Movie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Cool.
That's seen in a nutshell.
And that's the show, Derek.
Tis time to wrap another week on the memo.
Good show, Neil McCoy.
Back on Monday, where we'll find out
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say how Brad got out of jail this weekend, but I couldn't. I was going to
find out what happened in the woods, if anything else happened.
Tune in Monday to hear Chris say, what? you can find us online, of course, memo.djournal.com. All these stories we talked about in today's episode of the memo you can find in your daily journal or online, djournal.com. Of course, easiest way to get to those, follow us on Twitter at djournal now. The memo also on Twitter at djournal memo. Back again Monday. Brand new week, all new surprises. Never know what's going to happen on the memo and who will be joining us.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
I said you'll have to tune in to see, but I meant here.
Yeah, they'll have to hear. Listen, nobody wants to look at us.
This is true. Goodbye.